This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour, fist pump time on the fan cam, Twitch and YouTube. Sean and RJ, Bobby Belt out sick. We got Peyton, we got Aiden getting it in the back, and we're live on the fan cam, Twitch and YouTube. We got the Frago injury attorney text line, and hopefully you with us every day for the 9 o'clock hour on DFW Sports Station as we try to get you to the weekend as quickly as possible. Let's take you around the National Football League with some Cowboys Nuggets as well. We will say goodbye to Zach Martin at 9:20 this morning and crosstalk with KNC at 9:40. The Raiders setting a new floor for Micah. Max Crosby 3 for 106, 91.5 guaranteed. Highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. That is 35.5 per year. So Micah's price just goes to 36.
Unless they do a total reset. Because like going to 36 isn't, I don't really consider that resetting the market. Maybe it is. I look at like resetting the market where like there's a jump to like 40.
Now when Stephen Jones said, I don't really see like a bunch of factors getting in the way of a Micah deal. Bobby Belt.
That's not what I just said.
Bobby took that as not thinking that there were Justin Jeffersons, other players in the same position group that they'd have to wait for or fight through to reset. Well, I would counter back with Trey Hendrickson, not in Micah's class, but TJ Watt. Player. Is he going to get paid again? TJ, Max Crosby, Miles Garrett. Like, I would counter back to Bobby that you would want, and Steven, if that's what Steven meant, you want to get in front of those deals. Now, the Cowboys are freeing up all this money. By the way, speaking of pass rushers, Joey Bosa, always hurt. Sacks declining, cut by the Los Angeles Chargers. They will save a boatload of cash. The Cowboys freeing up even more money. After CeeDee Lamb, they flipped the switch on Dak Prescott yesterday. So Dak no longer has the highest salary cap figure in the NFL. They created $36.5 million in cap space. So now they have $56.6 million created in cap room over the last 2 days.
Good. Now, what are you going to do with it? And that's the question.
Yep.
Are you going to spend it? Are you going to hoard it? Are you going to roll it over to create more room for future years to get more guys signed or to take on those hits? Because if you know, to me, if you just free up all this money, this $50+ million, and the 36 and change you just did with Dak, 30 and change,
$10 million or $11 million more when you get Micah done,
right? So if you just
like you're not taking this $60 million and subtracting 35 or 40 when you get Micah done, no, you're actually going to add to more cap savings.
So
don't ask me how or why. That's just the way it is.
If you do all this and then you decide that you're not going to really do anything with it, and you're not going to go fill holes in free agency, you're not going to go make a splash in free agency, all you did was just roll 30-something million dollars of Dak's money to another year and create a problem for that year. And that's just, like, they've got to do something. Jerry said, though, that he doesn't see them being aggressive in free agency. Why?
Not filling voids. Yesterday after the Zach presser, Bobby was there, got the audio. Here's Jerry on addressing holes through free agency or the draft.
I don't think aggressive is the right word. I think when we see a part that a player that can take us in a direction that can improve where we're going to be pretty significantly from where we're going to be if that opportunity wasn't there, whether it be the talent of that individual player or whether it be addressing any perceived places we need help. I wouldn't call us really void in any area, void if you include what we're going to do in the draft. I wouldn't see that. So as your question is addressing free agency, I'm not looking at free agency as a place to fill voids.
So you don't have any voids? Would you
not
say?
If you include what might work for us in the draft and what we're doing with our own roster relative to who we want to sign.
What? Everyone turned the headline into Jerry saying we're not going to be aggressive through the free agency filling voids. For me, the headline, and Clarence Hill tried to clarify, is Jerry saying, we don't have any voids. We don't have any voids once you include what we do in the draft. What? All we've been doing all offseason is saying, hey.
Voids. They got holes. They're not close.
Holy crap.
You know, like.
Now, Mike Fisher brought up a good point on his podcast. He said,
item.
Why are we choosing to believe Jerry now? It's a good point. Yesterday, the whole Metroplex lost our minds, me included, sad face emojis, when Jerry says, we're not going to fill our holes and voids through free agency. There's been plenty of other times when the Cowboys, we're all in. We're a championship contender. We thought we were going to win the NFCs. We thought we were better than the Eagles. We thought we'd be in the Super Bowl. We thought this. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, whatever. We roll our eyes. That's PR speak. But now we're choosing to believe that they're not going to take all this money and do anything with it in free agency. I thought it was an interesting point by Mike.
Maybe they do a lot of little things. They don't do any big things. I mean, they have evidently, they were scared off by the Mo Claiborne and the Joey Galloway trades. Like, they were scared off. They were scared off by Galloway trade for quite a while. And it appears they're scared from the Brandon Carr deal. And they're still just kind of, you know, dipping their toes into the water. It's cold water, right? It's 50 degree water. They're just dipping their toes in. But man, you can't go, like, this is the problem. Like, when you go and restructure these contracts and you don't do anything with them, like, you just wasted two off seasons then, because you're going to do the same thing. You're going to kick it down the road and that money is going to come due eventually. And it sucks. I know it's an accounting trick, but man, it doesn't seem like it works.
Then Jerry delivered this quote. We get criticized because we wait until the end, or what you would call the end, in negotiating. It just happens that way. I've been one of the earliest out there on several contracts in my 35 years. So that's Jerry continuing to be stubborn in terms of their approach with signing guys. But look, they do have their own to sign. We got Jordan Lewis. Brad Sham talked about Brian Anger. Do you want to set up a dual running back situation, including Rico Dowdle? He's up. Eric Kendricks was your leading tackler. Tank Lawrence. And then, of course, we got number 11 to deal with. So signing your own, but what would be left over for the others?
And I mean, look, if they bring back all those guys, I mean, I wouldn't look at this as the worst offseason in the world. I mean, that's good that you got those guys brought back, but they're all, I mean, half of them are older.
And they're in-house already.
Yeah.
You know, that's they're the one thing I was thinking about the Osa deal. Yeah, we're feeling good. You got it done earlier. It feels like you got a great deal. Osa left some money on the table for you, but it's nothing new or different. Like, how are you adding to what is at best a 12-win regular season team with early playoff exits? So how are you adding? We're just getting ready for free agency. But some other moves around the league. Again, we told you about Bosa out in L.A., Christian Kirk cut by Jacksonville, and then a pair of Seahawk wide receivers who our new head coach knows very well. Mm-hmm. Tyler Lockett gone from the Seahawks. Some people asking whether he will reunite with Pete Carroll in Las Vegas. And DK Metcalf has requested a trade. And is it Adam Schefter with the value?
It was Diana Rossini.
Rossini.
They reportedly, the Seahawks are seeking a first and third round pick for DK Metcalf. And he wants a new contract worth $30 million a year. Multiple teams have inquired. A first and a third,
nope.
And $30 million? I would have to say no.
Let me go to Adam Schefter. Pepe, let me know when you get it up. Schefter with the Cowboys reshuffling things. I want to know what he's saying about what they're planning on doing. No, I was thinking a third for DK. Maybe a second. But $30 million on top of that? No, I think I'd rather go cheap with Cooper Kupp or maybe even Tyler Lockett, depending on what he has.
Lockett, you know, he's got 2.5 yards, more than 2.5 yards of separation. 2.7 last year, which is really, really good. It was higher than A.J. Brown, higher than DK, higher than T. Higgins. So he may have had a low catch year, but he was still getting open.
If the Commanders, according to Mike Silver, cannot find a trading partner for Jonathan Allen, he'll likely be released. So Florio called this a weak free agent class, but you give me Devontae and Kupp and DK through trade, Jonathan Allen maybe cut. You know, there's some names out there. There's some names.
There are.
I might rather go cheaper with a Devontae. I don't know how cheap he's going to be than giving all that up for DK, who I'm not convinced is as good as he actually should be. All right, other notes. The Titans like Cam Ward as a potential number one pick, according to an ESPN survey of executives. They reportedly also have Abdul Carter rated near the top, but the Titans could also be trying to move out of that pick.
Look, I think the initial thought was that they like Will Levis. They want to give him more time. I think the Cam Ward like is just a smokescreen for them to buy to build up the number one market so they could trade out of it. I don't think they really want to be there. I wouldn't. I mean, if you're not going to take a quarterback, you're going to get the most expensive player in the draft, and you're going to get a 50-50. You're getting a risk. So it's not. Is it going to pay off? I don't know. You might be better off trading down a couple of spots, and you still might be able to get Travis Hunter out of it.
Of course, everyone pays attention to what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing. This was right next to us in Indianapolis. We had Todd McShay, former Mel Kiper partner, next to us doing his podcast setup. They had Howie Roseman on. Actually, let's go to Schefter right now about the Cowboys' moves.
Of money to be able to try to re-sign some of your own free agents, which they want to do, like Jordan Lewis, like Rico Dowdle, maybe DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons. You want to pay your own guys. You need money to pay your draft class. You need money to have flexibility. It's not like they're not going to spend in free agency, but it's not like they're going to jump into the market and all of a sudden sign 5 different players to premium prices. By restructuring these contracts, they've given themselves the flexibility that they need to address certain needs. This doesn't lead to some spending spree. That's not where they're going with this. This allows them the flexibility to do what they feel like they need to make sure that this roster is intact.
That's basically what he said. We're going to sign our own guys. And their own guys were just basically a well below average NFL.
That's what I'm saying. You went 7-10 last year with your own guys.
Yeah.
You don't think Jack you should be looking elsewhere to sign other players to come and help your football team?
Yeah. I mean,
that bothers me.
If there's evidence directly in their faces, in their own division, of how spending money works, and we'll get to that in a minute. I'm just rolling along, but we're jammed.
All right, good job. Perfect timing, Peyton. Peyton is off to a hell of a start in 2025.
Look at that.
He's up the producer game, in my opinion. But that sums up everything right there. There's Schefter saying, no, we ain't seeing some big whale splashes here. We're seeing re-signing your own guys, adding here and there. And Harry Douglas just made my point on Get Up. Okay, cool. You re-sign all your guys for a team that we still don't think is that close. So
yeah.
Osa's exciting and nice and everything, and you're freeing up the money to re-sign a lot of your own. Well, a lot of your own with the same team is still a second-round playoff ceiling. So I thought they summed it up very nicely.
It is. Now, look, I mean, you could say the flip side of that is like, yeah, the same team was 12-5 the year before, and these are the same guys. You know, the other side would be like, well, yeah, they're all now 2 years older from that 12-5 team. And in the case of, you know, the rest of the roster just also isn't as deep as a whole as those were. You've got to have depth. You got to bring a lot of these guys back. You know, you can't just replace them in the draft. You're going to have another bad year.
Let's get you emotional with a final send-off to the future Hall of Famer. We do it with the Zach Martin goodbye next on 105.3 The Fan.
After we get you over to Platinum Ford in Terrell, it is, of course, a Stephen Gilchrist-owned store. Gilchrist Automotive hooking you up in that brand-new Ford car, truck, SUV, PlatinumFord.com. Right between I-20 and Highway 80, it is worth the short drive to Terrell to save a lot more on that brand-new vehicle. Adam Vinci is the GM. Adam's a Tolo. Adam's a good dude. Tell him I sent you over there. Tell him you want that Ford Expedition, $16,000 off MSRP. It's yours for under $62,000. The F-150 STX, how about this? You can get into it for under $38,500. This is after the dealer discounts, the rebates. That's a fantastic offer. The XLT, under $52,000 right now. You're getting almost $12,000 off MSRP on the F-150 XLT. Adam's got the largest selection of Super Duties in the state. F-450s, 350s, 250s, full-size Broncos, Raptor F-150s, the all-new Ford Lightning. Ask about that. They will cut you a great deal on the Ford Lightning over at PlatinumFord.com. Customize that ride, then drive a little further to save a lot more at Platinum Ford.
An awesome retirement ceremony, speech, and article courtesy of Zach Martin yesterday at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. We're about to recap it. Just to remind you today, the Fan is out and about. The G-Bag Nation, part of the grand opening of Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, 2221 State Highway in Euless. If you buy one burger, you get the second one free. And the great Chris Arnold will be in Granbury from 3 to 5 p.m. at Casey's Pizza, 2101 Weatherford Highway. So the Fan, out and about as your home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. Let's get you emotional with the DallasCowboys.com montage of the great Zach Martin.
Zach Martin, Notre Dame, offensive line. I would describe myself as a consistent guy. You're going to get someone who's the same guy every day, who's going to be there for his teammates. Just to have the opportunity to be in the NFL and kind of fulfill that dream, you know, playing in a place like Dallas would be pretty special.
Dallas Cowboys select Zach Martin.
Get over here, Zach Martin. Zach Martin.
So there we had an outstanding starter that could really come in and immediately help us do what we need to do.
Obviously got a very good offensive line already, and, you know, it's going to be fun to join that group and help out any way I can.
Best pass-blocking guard in the NFL, and it ain't even close.
You look at the dominance of Zach Martin. 7 first-team All-Pro selection. He had just 7 holding penalties.
Zach has always Mr. Consistency, and he just makes it look so easy.
He represents anything and everything you want when you draft a football player. No question, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, the talking's over! Talk is cheap! Hey, we're at home! We protect our house!
Right.
Get her on 3! 1, 2, 3!
Together!
Talk to Zach just about every day. Everything that he's done for the Cowboys and for me since I've been here, as far as leading and teaching me how to lead and guide and teaching me how to be a pro, I appreciate him for that.
But yeah, I mean, that's a brother. That's a brother that goes well beyond the lines of the football field.
Dak, Romo, Travis Frederick, Tyron Smith, Tyrone Crawford, amongst many and many and many in attendance to send Zach Martin off. He took pride in his consistent effort. I thought that was what he defined as his calling card. And he said, my message to fans, part of the message is you got to be obsessed. And there are some obsessed guys that I'm leaving behind in that room. He got choked up naming his teammates, praising Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy as well. They had some Johnny Manziel fun with the joking. Yep. They asked Jerry, hey, have you ever been so happy to be so wrong? He said, yes. And Jerry Jones said that it's now a conversation and that Zach Martin is now the twin of Larry Allen when you're talking about great Cowboys linemen. And Zach was asked what that means to him.
It means a lot because I can remember when you go to the rookie symposium, when you're a rookie and you go through the Hall of Fame. And I remember taking that selfie next to Larry Allen's bust right when I got drafted. And then my first couple of years, he was out at training camp and would shoot you texts before the game. And so really, I mean, it goes back to all of the former Cowboys. I mean, we have such a great community here in Dallas and being able to connect with those guys. And then obviously a guy like Larry, where you're playing in the same position and, you know, you try to emulate the guy. I think, you know, I think he had a few pounds on me, but you try to emulate what he's doing out there. And it's special, and it's a big honor to be mentioned in that same breath.
Look, if you're mentioned in the same breath as Larry Allen, you did something right. There's You know, the Cowboys offensive line, I think, is underrepresented in the Hall of Fame. I think Nate should be there. Rayfield's there. Rayfield was, he had to wait way too long. I mean, he had to wait. Shoot, man, he had to wait 30 years almost. 25 years. You know, and Zach hopefully doesn't have to wait very long. You know, he's going to have to wait the five for sure, but, you know, beyond that, how long? I hopefully not at all.
I think Jerry and Steven revealing some behind-the-scenes negotiations that Zach would have preferred to keep private, but Zach kind of pushed his agent to the side when he went in, and he's like, I know exactly what I want financially. So they talked to Zach more than his agent during the talks, and Zach's like, hey, we don't need to reveal that publicly. And then I saw his Players Tribune goodbye, and I wanted to go through some of this. I thought it was fantastic. Out of everyone that I told that I was retiring from the NFL, I think the one guy that was the most bummed out was my son, Charlie. He's our oldest. He's about to turn 6, and at that age, they have absolutely no filter. It's beautiful. I came home a few weeks ago. I told him, you know, bud, Dad's not going to be playing football anymore. And he said, yeah, I know. Football starts next year. It's done for the summer. And Zach goes, no, buddy, I'm done forever. And he goes, well, what are you going to do? What do you mean? For your job? He said, I'm going to play golf, man. Daddy's tired. And he goes, I'm going to spend a lot more time with you guys. And Charlie goes, And Zach's like, isn't that cool? And Charlie goes, And Zach's like, what's wrong, buddy? He goes, but what about CD? Am I still going to get to see him? And Zach said, that was my boy's main concern. He's obsessed with CD Lamb. That's his guy. One of the big reasons I kept pushing through all the injuries the last few years was to give Charlie those little moments that he can actually remember. As tough as last season was, Charlie kind of got me through it in a way, because every time I came home, he had some hilarious new analysis waiting for me. I think he gets it from his mom. He's more brutal than Stephen A. I remember one day, Dak was already out. We were so banged up. We had a game where we got smoked. It could have been the Lions. I get home, I'm fuming. I get into the kitchen and I'm thinking there's nothing on earth that can make me feel better right now. I see Charlie. I'm going through the motions trying to be a dad. Hey, man. Hey, buddy. You watch the game? Yeah, Dad. Tough one, huh? Yeah, you guys are not very good.
Oh, no.
We're trying, buddy. Well, maybe you should try really hard. Maybe next game you should try really hard.
He sounds like a fan.
Okay,
you're
buddy.
Just saying, not giving the effort.
Okay, buddy. Was I okay, though, in the game? No, Dad. You let too many guys push you around. They were getting Cooper. Sorry, buddy. But you know who was really great today? He put the W in there. CD. He's just always great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, kid. Bath time. Charlie did the impossible. He put the smile on my face every single week.
You know... It really cuts. It's really a little emasculating here. How old is this kid?
Four? Six.
Six? Six-year-olds breaking down O-line play. And I'm just watching the football.
Zach, Tyler, Eifert, and other buddies, they would always go out on the lake. They're sitting there having a few lemonades, fishing. And he said, that's what football is to me. Living together 4 years in Notre Dame, walls of protein tubs and dirt,
oh, yeah!
And dirty laundry.
Oh, yeah!
Really, it was shameful. I remember trying to smuggle my t-shirts and underwear into the Notre Dame football laundry loop. It got so bad, I tried to sucker my mom, call her and say, hey, mom, you wanna? When are you coming up to visit? And she's like, I'm not doing your laundry again. You're a big boy. We were animals. I can't lie. We had this routine called trash night. It was not a weekly thing. It was more like a monthly thing. We had an empty garage in our house. We basically turned that into our trash closet. Fill it up to a hefty bag max. Tie it off. Launch it into the garage. Slam the door. Problem solved. If we can't see it, we can't smell it. Inevitably, right. Someone's girlfriend would complain. And that's when it was officially trash night. We threw on some dark hoodies, waited until it was late, and piled up 35 hefty bags into the back of my old Silverado. We crept onto campus, found some dumpsters behind one of the old dorms, and apologies to all the Notre Dame's facility management staff. I can't imagine opening up one of those dumpsters Monday morning and seeing 750 whey protein tubs and empty milk cartons. Yeah, what can I say? Animals.
I'm going to judge him if it's not chocolate pretzel, caramel, Maybe a peanut butter pretzel.
Well, did they have that back in the day? Remember, this is college
this
for Zach.
Is college, yeah.
Years ago,
I think caramel pretzel was around then. The man, the laundry loop. That is maybe the greatest invention that these teams have ever had. The laundry loop.
What is that?
It's like a strap that you buckle up, but you loop all of your clothes. So you loop your shirt, your jersey, your pants. You loop it on there. You close it up, snap it, put it in the laundry, and that way when they just wash that the whole thing, and that way you don't have to like look for your jersey. It all stays together.
And it gets clean within
and it gets clean.
In the middle?
Yeah, because it's just the hook. You're just going around the loop.
Oh.
Like the tag on the back of your hoodie, right? You put that through.
Zach Martin continuing to say goodbye through the Players Tribune. If I didn't go back for my fifth year at Notre Dame, who knows where I would have ended up. Probably not Dallas. So I have to give a special thanks to Harry Highstand because he's probably had as big an impact on my football life as anyone. When he came in as our O-line coach, he changed everything for me. I've never met anyone with more conviction. He lived by one rule. No bull S, all ball. A lot of coaches can say that. He lived it. It was like something from an old NFL Films video, like he was born in the Lombardi era. I remember one time one of our guys fell asleep in the meeting room, and I didn't even think he was really asleep. He was just dozing off. Coach Highstand's face just went blank, followed by an explicit rant. Next morning, Coach had taped to his door the Greyhound bus schedule. It was a timetable for the city where the dude was from. To this day, we joke about it with all the O-linemen on the group text. We have his picture as the icon. Talk about the legendary ass rippings he would give us. And anytime we see someone make a mistake during a random game, the impressions and the memes start flying around. Without him, I don't end up in Dallas. He convinced me to come back. I don't know if the fans saw it that way. On draft night, I recall some boos when my name got announced. I'm not going to lie. Saw a couple of shocked faces in the crowd. I was rewatching the clip the other day. One lady looked like she just saw her dog get kidnapped. I get it. Guard, not the sexiest pick in the first round. When Dallas was up at 16, I got a call from a 214. I was shocked. It was Jerry. I can't even remember what he said. I was the SpongeBob meme. Everything went blurry and was swirling around. Then Romo called me. He said, Tony Romo stuff. Super cool. Can't wait to have you here. And then finally, when you're a Dallas Cowboy, it just hits different. That's the God's honest truth. You see that star next to your picture on ESPN? You have to pinch yourself. That night, I was on top of the world. It's funny because I remember getting on a plane to actually go to Dallas, and I was filled with more anxiety than I've ever been in my life. I also didn't want to get on the flight. I don't know what came over me. I was like, I'm really a Cowboy. This is crazy. I'm a kid from Indiana, man. I can't be teammates with Romo and Dez and Witten and Tyron Smith. This is insane. And then the final thank you in this article, the staff, the men and women at Medical City Plano Hospital, they had some complications with their third child. Scary people rushing in the room. Many know how that goes, but things ended up working out. And he said, my family owes you everything. So the Zach Martin Players Tribune exit.
It's got to be a surreal experience, like to get drafted and all of a sudden, like, oh, here comes the Dallas Cowboys plane, the private. I assume they don't put him on an American flight and fly him in.
Pete Carroll.
All right. Man, what was that? Who said that?
I don't want to say the reporter's name, but someone told us on the flight back from Indy that Pete Carroll got put in coach.
Put in coach.
To the combine or something.
Yeah.
And he had to walk up to the front of the plane to talk to the other coaches who were flying first class.
Oh, McDaniel. I'm sorry, McDonald. Mike McDonald was there. The
Dolphins.
No.
Oh,
the
Seattle.
Seahawks new coach. Because Pete still lives in Seattle. So he was coming from Seattle to Indy. And he was he walked up to first class and apparently just stood there the entire time. Which, you know, they've told us that's not allowed. No lingering in the aisle. You cannot loiter. You cannot loiter.
Thursday edition of Sean and RJ on your home of the Cowboys. Zach says he does want to remain in football somehow. Nothing immediate. Didn't talk about coaching. Just wants to chill with the kiddos in the carpool for the time being. So congratulations to the future Hall of Famer, the great Zach Martin. Let's crosstalk with the KNC masterpiece. What do the guys think about the idea of trading Anthony Davis and Kyrie not re-signing here? We'll chop it up with KNC after this What do you think about the idea of Hurtado barbecue for lunch or for dinner? So cold and windy out there. Not ideal grilling conditions. Well, the official barbecue of the morning show and the Texas Rangers is here to take care of it. Stop by and get that platter for the family that feeds 4 to 6. The El Patron tonight. A pound and a half each of brisket, pulled pork, pound of pork ribs, 4 sausage links, 4 birria tacos, and 4 single sides of your choice. You want to split the El Jefe for lunch today? I think this is the best value platter. We already know it's the best looking platters in all of DFW. Just go to Hurtado's Instagram page to see that. I think the El Jefe is the ideal meal to split for lunch or dinner. A 3rd pound each of brisket, pulled pork, spare ribs, turkey, burnt ends, and sausage. Are you kidding me? For a little over $20 a piece, you split 6 different meats along with the sides, the Hatch chili mac and cheese, my wife's favorite, the tater tot casserole, or the brisket beans to go along with ranch potato salad. And don't forget about the handmade pies for dessert. You could pick up the book Barbacoa to copy Brandon's barbecue tricks. They got the gear and they got the spices as well. Mansfield, Arlington, Fort Worth, Farmers Market, and soon to reopen Inside the Globe. Skip the line, and for all your catering needs, Hurtado and HurtadoBBQ.com.
Giannis driving, lays it in. Giannis Antetokounmpo, welcome to the 20,000 Career Point Club.
The Dallas Mavericks and their 3 bench players could not overcome the Milwaukee Bucks, and I'm not joking.
No, I know. It ate last night.
8 players, Bucks TV with the audio. How did the Mavs put out their injury report, RJ?
Well, it was so long. Mavs PR.
How long was it?
How long was it, Gene? That's right. Mavs PR did not verified. They don't pay the $8 a month. And they had to use last names only.
Oh, my God.
And they could not write right or left. They had to use R and L to determine which body part side it was. So L hand, it would be Irving L knee. That's what it would have been.
Corey,
what the hell is happening with this team?
What's coming up on the program?
Well, we'll talk a little at 10:20 about the team that's given up 130 points a game. We will start the show though. Are you ready to make Teodo your closer? Are you ready
who?
To have Teodo?
Yeah.
He's, what do you mean? Who?
Thank you.
Making him
thank
sure you. He's pronounced it right.
And then at 11 o'clock, mistakes NFL teams need to avoid. And the Cowboys specifically on this one.
All right. I got to throw some Maverick questions at you guys.
Are you going to be ready if I have an alternate question to throw back at you?
Yes. Okay. So on the Hoop Collective, Tim Bontemps, who I respect his basketball intelligence, he said that Anthony Davis should not play another game here. Not that he won't, but if you're building correctly, let's actually let's play the clip, Peyton. This is Bontemps on what should happen with AD.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think Anthony Davis should ever play for the Mavericks again. He shouldn't play the rest of the season, and they should trade him this summer.
I mean, that's aggressive.
It's not aggressive. Nico Harrison talked about they're having a 3 or 4 year window with this group that included this season. Okay. Kyrie Irving is going to be a 33-year-old guard who just had a catastrophic knee injury, was a player option for next season. You basically have to write him off at being a major contributor for next season. Maybe he can come back and do that. You have to assume if you're running the franchise, he's not going to do that. At that point, Anthony Davis will have 1 year guaranteed left on his deal. He's going to be approaching his 33rd birthday. This team has really no ability to contend as it stands now without a proper star next to Anthony Davis. You're correct that they should tank for this year's draft because there's nowhere this team is going now anyway.
All right, a couple of Kyrie conundrums that threw me for a loop with their discussion yesterday. Yeah. I was worried about Kyrie maybe leaving us. Everyone on that set, and I respect all their basketball opinions, they were like, no, 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 no. It would be a foolish mistake for Kyrie to not opt into the $44 million. The reason that surprises me, I was just kind of assuming with Kyrie's work ethic, the medical world that we're in, I get his age. Come December, January, like, he's going to be back to being Kyrie. McMahon, and more specifically Bontemps, they're like, no. You're 2 years canceled with your 3 to 4 year Nico plan, because you cannot rely on Kyrie Irving to come back and be a championship level player next year. That surprised me. And then it surprised me that they basically suggested it was a foolish business decision for Kyrie Irving to think about not opting in to the 44 mil. Because I was like, all right, come back. Even if you're not totally 100% healthy next year, you go out on the market and someone else will pay you another max contract. So help me.
So we were actually looking through this Stanford research project about NBA players coming back from specifically this kind of knee injury.
They hate Harvard.
Now, why'd you choose Stanford and not like Cal?
I mean, come on.
Because Malcolm Moore went to Stanford.
The director.
No, that's Michael
Bowling
Moore
for Columbine.
Rank your Ivy League 1, 2, 3.
But the idea was you didn't even come back for 10 months. So when you said December or January, and I realize maybe he'll be faster healer, but he is older for sports, so maybe not. So that wouldn't even have him back until January 5th. And at that point, he would have already missed 35 games. And so, like, that's just when you get on the court. Like, how long do you think it's going to take until he's back in the groove? And so I would make an argument. You're going to get, like, best case scenario, 1/3 of the season of real Kyrie. And with that in mind, you can take that third and maybe the playoffs, maybe not, to rebuild your value and then say, now I'm healthy. Give me my deal. But opt in, because just in case it goes bad on the recovery, you get paid either way.
But real quick, I mean, like, let's just say he opts in, the recovery's fine, or it goes bad.
Yep.
And then he comes back and he's not good. He's like very much in decline. He won't get anything the following year.
That is definitely a possibility.
He's got his $44 million.
He would.
But you wonder, what are you thinking he would get on the, let's just say, opt-out, open market, as it is now?
I would have to go back and look, like, because I think Durant was in the same situation.
Yeah.
He left Golden State, and he got paid for, like, a full year with the Nets for doing nothing.
So you think maybe he could get, like, I don't know, 3 for $120 or something like that. And so you might be letting $76 million just go out the door.
Yeah, you might.
Now, you mentioned You mentioned a key name right there. I don't know if this is going to drive you crazy, but did you see the ESPN suggestion for the next Mavs move? Because they're like, let's go in the completely opposite way. They're going to hate it.
Durant.
Kevin Durant comes to the Mavericks for... Are you ready? PJ Washington, Najee Marshall, Klay Thompson, Derek Lively, and a first-round pick.
All your depth. You basically just recreated the Suns roster.
Yeah, and that's going super well.
Why'd you even trade Luka at this point?
Why'd you trade Luka?
What if you're trying to get that guy?
We did. So I feel like that would push all the way into our window is maybe a year and a half, and I think fans would hate it.
Would you make the argument then that they shouldn't even re-sign Kyrie to a long-term deal? Are we about to go from what an NBA Finals roster to no AD or Kyrie? Yeah.
If he opts out, good luck to you. I have to move on. Because I'm not putting that money on the line.
This is so comical.
It's not, though.
And it's depressing.
It is depressing because you are about to be a rebuild team when you didn't have to be.
Like,
you didn't have to be.
You didn't have to do anything.
Poof. Poof!
Like, at least if you if he left in free agency, I could deal with that. Okay, you want to go live somewhere else? Fine, I get it. You opened the door and you pushed him out. And what? It didn't have to be this way.
You're right. And I think they're screwed with the Anthony Davis trade because with the fan base. Because let's say you trade him for, you know, some guy and a first round pick, which is what we like to do. And then you're like, all right, so you traded Luka for 2 first round picks and 2 other people, but what if you get like 3 first round picks? They're going to be like, see what happens when you shop him around? You got more first round picks or Anthony Davis than you did Luka. So I don't know how that part's going to work out.
But you guys universally believe like Bontemps, Kyrie opts back in to secure that money?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's the smart business decision to make.
Mm. You disagree, though. It feels like.
My initial feeling was opt out, go somewhere else, and someone else will pay him.
Okay.
I am.
You might be right.
I'm dismissing the injury risk or he has a downfall. I have to see it first to believe it.
It's interesting, too. His, like, this was his last stop because everybody was out on him. So did he revitalize everything where teams are like, no, that's the guy. He's going to be that guy whenever he comes into our place,
too. I think he might have.
He did?
I kind of think he might have.
Interesting. I think the injury just kind of was like another one of those things that cut that back down. It's not anything personality-wise. It's just they're like, oh, 32 now. So I feel like people are like, all these other things are too much to handle.
Are you playing the song now? Okay, good. I wanted the transition. Yesterday it became known that the K. Bailey Hutchinson Center was going to be the hub.
Heck yeah.
It's a radio row.
I love it.
The World Cup hub with all the big time announcers, the great Josh Clark. So from January to August, we're going to have the entire soccer world media coverage wise. And Josh Clark sent me the list. Clint Dempsey, Taylor Twellman, Landon, Tim Howard, Lawless, Stephen Goff. And for the first time ever, it appears we're getting a halftime show.
We are. The FIFA World Cup is going to be...
They didn't announce
no.
this.
No, hang on.
Who is this,
on.
Kevin?
Coldplay?
Yes. So the...
I'm white. I know Coldplay.
So, now they did a Super Bowl not too long ago. Jay-Z is in charge of finding the Super Bowl halftime show, right? He is like the director of fun for the NFL.
Oh.
Well... Who was in charge of finding the halftime act for the FIFA World Cup? Coldplay.
Oh, I trust him.
Is he still married to Gwyneth?
Nope.
No.
They divorced.
So this is Apple. Former Ranger reliever Chris Martin.
That's different. Mm-hmm.
Right? Actually, current Ranger reliever.
Oh, yeah, current. Back. He is back.
Those are still different people.
He's still
people.
Back. Yeah,
they
he's
the
back.
Same.
But they are going to do a halftime show. Uh-huh. This is the first time they've ever done that. They've never done a halftime show at the FIFA World Cup. Now, this is obviously the biggest global sporting event. I went and looked. The Super Bowl got about 60 million global viewers outside the U.S. The World Cup gets billions.
Yeah.
So it's going to be on a level we've never seen before.
I gotcha. Is Coldplay qualified for this title? I don't think Coldplay and Jay-Z in the same
to
sense.
Find them? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Chris Martin he's very, very good. Like his ability to write music, he's fantastic. Now, people have a ton of respect for him, too.
What band? So Taylor Swift had the number one grossing tour this year. Coldplay was number two worldwide.
Yeah. Pass. What? We found somebody else.
Yeah, yesterday number we had goalie Martin Paz from FC Dallas on.
Paz.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a pretty good name. And we asked him who he would suggest. And he had two fantastic suggestions together.
Oh, if Bad Bunny's not on it, I don't want to
hear it. Bad Bunny is on that list.
He's the guy.
He said in quote, no, should I not quote this? He said, there's
said exactly
Mexico
said
and America
it.
And Canada. And he said, Bad Bunny's the perfect one for this.
Yeah,
he said, and Dua Lipa. And I was like,
oh, Dua.
I'm in on that show.
So you're I mean.
And Becky G. That was Kevin's suggestion.
Is that a wrestler?
No.
No,
Becky G.
Up. Very,
she's
very popular.
Back together with one of the players for FC Dallas.
I'm not sure if they're still together or not.
Oh, crap.
I know. I don't know.
Misreporting everything.
So Bad Bunny's going to be one of the guys that are going to be his name's thrown out there. Taylor Swift's name's going to be thrown out there as well. Global. Shakira. Probably get her name thrown out there.
I can see that.
Global, right? You're not looking for something American. You're looking for something global.
They're back together.
Yes.
So we'll see where they go with. But Coldplay is in charge of finding that person.
Tomorrow. We'll see if Roberto joins us or not. The KNC Masterpiece next on The Fan.